We're back. We're in Mark chapter 13, about verse 12. He continues, "Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death." Sad times. These times have been in the past. And certainly the Inquisition of history, certainly the persecutions of early Rome against the church, the Church of the Living God, under the King of Yahshua, under the kingship of the Messiah. These things will continue as the Inquisition continues, and in the days to come, where everyone will be required at the threat of death, and we can see that developing quickly as the second beast of Revelation morphs into its fully dragon-like character. We see it's already becoming dragon-like, hating the Word of God, embracing the idolatry of Babylon and Rome. And we see that you have your children of Christians, so-called, going to the public school system, being indoctrinated to turn in their parents. And they will turn in their parents. It was demonstrated in Nazi Germany, where the Hitler youth, they got the children. That's why they believe in public schooling so much. And even now, even still today, in Germany, it's against the law to homeschool. I'm not proud of that. My heritage being German on my father's side, my grandfather's coming over from Germany to America many years ago. I'm not proud of that at all, having that as a heritage and having that go on today in Germany. I advise anyone to homeschool. I also advise them at the same time to realize that the threat of CPS, and that is child procurement services for monetary gain of the state, especially focuses on homeschool. So you have to be careful when you're homeschooling. You don't want your children out there playing in public, where the public school buses go by and all of the pagans see them and wonder why they're not in school. And then they call, of course, CPS, who come along and charge you with crimes that don't exist in order to take your children away, because the reward is great. The monetary advantage is there. And these days, with gag orders and so forth that they can enforce, it seems that they can do whatever they want and get away with it. So we have to be really careful. Good thing to keep your children out of the public schools, because if they're there, it is more likely, as the scripture here, as the Messiah warns us, children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. It happened in Germany. It's going to happen here. It's going to happen everywhere, especially as all the sinners and all the evil people of the world come together, and the second beast forces worship of the first beast of Revelation. Now, I can see this coming. I can see the morphing taking place. I can see the power, the influence behind the scenes, hidden in plain sight for all those who want to see it, who are willing to open their eyes to what's really going on. How long we have? We could have several hundred years. We could have a reprieve. We could have an onslaught of persecution and inquisition, and then it could abate for a while. It's happened in history. We've had persecution strong. We've had them abate. We've had them come back and abate. You had World War I, World War II. You had the Civil War, all coming from the same place, the money powers. And who are these money powers? Well, they call themselves the keepers of the Vatican's treasure. So it tells you who is the boss and who is the servant. Figure it out. It's not too hard. So children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. So pay attention, people. Pay attention. And especially now, they want to teach your children how to be homosexuals. That's right. To worship the god, Harvey Milk, the pervert, her Harvey Milk, and hold him up as an example of how to destroy your life and go to hell as fast as you can and take a nation with you. Is that what you want for your children? Well, send them to public schools, and that's what you're going to get. And what is happening here and in Massachusetts, in the state of California, that beast, that Minerva-worshipping, idolatrous image, forcing its will on all of its residents, all the people who worship its image. You send your children to their public schools, and that's what you're going to get. Because they've already been doing, for many years, everything they can to destroy the authority of the family. Because a tyrannical government does not like competition. And family government is competition. That's why the destruction of the family is part of the system. Figure it out. For those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, you shall cause them to be put to death. Continuing, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And there's the admonition. Endure to the end. Where are you enduring? Not in the kingdoms of this world. We're called to come out. We're enduring in his kingdom. We're enduring carrying our cross, crucifying the deeds of the flesh, resisting the world, resisting the inquisitions, not recanting our faith, not being fearful unto death, fearing him who can cast both body and soul in hell more than those who can stop us on the roadside, taser us, beat us, steal our mode of transportation, throw us in jail, and yes, even kill us. We are to endure all this till the end. He who endures to the end shall be saved. To the end of what? Of course, to the end of our mortality, because we all shall surely die. We have to endure in his kingdom to the end of our mortality, because if we're not in his kingdom when our mortality ends, we will not be in his kingdom forever. And forever is a mighty long time. Yes, we will be hated, and we are hated, of all men, for his name's sake. I know it, I experience it. I don't like it, it's no fun, but that's what he told us it would be like. So we should not be surprised. Oh, come to Jesus, everyone will love you, everything will be fine. And for all of those that believe in the easy believism gospel, who don't read the word of God and don't take to heart the words of the Messiah, and believe that at the first sign of persecution or trouble, the first sign of resistance to the gospel and their association with the name of Yahuwah, Jesus, walking in him with him in spirit and truth, they recant their faith. Go, oh, must not be true, because Jesus wouldn't let me suffer. Jesus wouldn't make life hard. Well, I wouldn't have to suffer inconvenience for Jesus. Why? What am I going to do? It would be inconvenient if I had to give up the driver's license and worshiping the goddess Minerva. It would be inconvenient if I had to stop using the socialist security number and breaking the law of God thereby. Oh, it would be, and certainly Jesus wouldn't want me to be inconvenienced, would he? Yes, he would. To the point of death, he would. That's what he said. Fear not them that kill the body. Inconvenience is a lot less than being killed by those that kill the body, whom we're not supposed to fear more than we fear God and eternal damnation. He says, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And he continues here, speaking to the disciples. And now he's giving us a time context in this next statement. When you shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And of course, Daniel the prophet, he did speak about the abomination of desolation. There were two of them. That's right. There was one that he was living in the wake of. The angel came to him and said, 2300 days, then shall the temple be cleansed. Yes, the desolation was going to be repaired. One abomination, which maketh desolate, was past, and one was to come. And that's what Yahshua is talking about now. The abomination of desolation. They're going to reject the Messiah. Israel is going to be forsaken because of the abomination of the nation. And the desolation that is determined is going to come. And it's going to be consummated in 70 AD with the destruction of the temple. That's the desolation. So we have the abomination, we have the desolation. And he says, spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And he says, standing where it ought not. And a lot of people say, well, this was Epiphanies and whatever, but there was no desolation. See, there's two things. There's an abomination and a desolation here. So this is definitely a reference, time context reference to the destruction of Jerusalem. Spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand, then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. So do a study on the word abomination and do the study on the word desolation, and you'll find, as regarding the temple and Jerusalem, there were two. One, in the time when Babylon first came in and destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, and of course the second one, which was finished in 70 AD. The abomination went on. God called his people to repent. He sent prophets, and he finally sent Jeremiah. They would not repent. Then came the desolation. Then again, you had the word of God, you had the prophets, you had all the writings, then the Messiah came, and the disciples that he made, and they spread the word for the 70th week, and then the gospel went to the nations, and of course, what followed was the desolation of national Israel for all, because their time was up, because the 70 weeks were up. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand, then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. So the sign is when you see it. And what were they going to see? Well, they were going to see that which is unclean in the temple and round about Jerusalem. And that is the standing heathen army. And of course, that's what happened before with Babylon. So we have that illustration, that first abomination and desolation to draw upon. Let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. Now, Jesus, of course, speaking to his disciples, them giving the word to all that would listen to them, and the faithful would have heeded his words and fled. So he's telling them specifically in time context, in the days that are coming, and our Heavenly Father was merciful. He allowed those disciples and apostles in Judea to minister for 40 years, going beyond the time that he revoked the special status of Israel. Of course, giving them the same chance as all of the other unbelieving nations, because that's what their status changed into, that of equal to all of the other unbelieving and wicked nations. After the 70 weeks that were determined for thy people Israel was up, their status changed to equality with all of the other heathen nations. And of course, the gospel going by Paul and whosoever the Heavenly Father sent to the other nations at the same time for almost 40 years, 35, 40 years to 70 AD after the 70th week was up. Our Heavenly Father is merciful. But he's talking about what's going to happen. And he's saying, when you see this, let him that is on the housetop not go down into his house. And of course, here is another extreme illustration. To get out of your house, I guess either you have to jump over the parapet onto the ground. But what he's trying to drive home here is an urgency. When you see these things, it's urgent that you flee, that you not dilly-dally, that you not worry about what you're leaving behind, because your life is at stake. And a lot of people, you'll see that they sold things and they used them for the gospel because the Holy Spirit told them to. And nothing was going to be left. There was nothing there that they could keep. They were going to flee. And those were the special circumstances of the time that they lived in and why they were not demonstrating communism as a way for Christianity by selling all their goods and having everything in common. It was the times that they were living in. The family, the inheritance, all the lands and possessions in the land of Judea were going to be lost because of the times that were coming. And listen to the warning. Let him that is on his housetop not go down into the house, neither enter in therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. Of course, you had to go back for your family, your friends, grab a few things, and flee. The idea is urgency here. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And that's why Paul said it would be better, in time context, if every man remain as I am and not marry, and not have a family. And I believe because of the days he was in. And basically to apply this verse here, but woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days or any days that may be like them, grab the babies and run. It's difficult, but the urgency is it's going to be difficult. Woe to them that give suck, that got little babies. It's hard to move when you got little babies. It's hard to get up and leave. But it's urgent that you do. That's the point. That's the point of everything. Not getting off your housetop to take anything. Not going, if you're in the field, to not going back to your house to drive home the point of urgency in getting out. And anyone up to that point, they knew what was coming because they had this prophecy. And pray ye that your flight will not be in winter. So that you'll have the wisdom to leave before it's too late. So you don't have to leave at the last minute when you're not prepared, when the weather is harsh. Pray that you have the wisdom to leave. And many of them did leave. Over that 30, 35 year period, there was the exodus of the believers. Slowly selling their properties and leaving and moving as the Holy Spirit prompted them in obedience to the Messiah. And the prophecy and the instruction that he gave them, and we have recorded here and in the other gospels. And accept, okay, for those days, pray that your flight be not in winter. Verse 18 of chapter 13. Verse 19. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but that for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he has shortened the days. If any man shall say to you, okay, now let's stop here and discuss that because I believe we have another change in topic here. Because here we are, they're in and about Judea and they're being instructed to flee when they see the abomination which maketh desolate. They see the desolation coming. All the signs are there. The army's round about and Rome is getting ready to put down the insurrection. It's not going to be a little police power this time. It's going to be total destruction and annihilation. And in the other gospels, it says something like, that many shall be killed with the sword and the remnant shall be taken away captive into all nations. So if you stay, you're going to be killed with the sword or taken away and dispersed captive and sold into slavery in all the other nations. You're going on the Roman slave market, in other words, if you don't flee. And the other point I have to make is God's chosen people, national Israel, lost the status of God's chosen people at the end of the 70th week. They lost that special status. God's chosen people was transferred to those of faith in the Messiah. Now there were many in Israel, thousands, who heeded the words of the Messiah. And out of obedience, they heeded his warnings here and they fled. So you have the obedient on the one hand, the obedient to the Messiah, the obedient to the Torah, the obedient to the faith of Israel, looking for the Messiah, accepting him when they came, receiving his instruction, receiving the newness of life, having their sins covered by the blood of the Lamb, listening to his word, and leaving Israel, leaving Judea at the word of the Christ and the prompting of the Holy Spirit over that 35-year period, which culminated at the end in 70 AD. You had the faithful and the obedient leave. You had the disobedient who stayed. And they stayed, and perhaps some of them fled for whatever reason, or were not in the land or not near that survived otherwise. But you had the disobedient who stayed, and they were killed with the edge of the sword, as the Messiah said, and taken captive and sold on the slave market throughout the Roman Empire, and taken captive into all nations. And now we have the Jews of today. Let me ask you something. Are the obedient nothing? That the Jews of today are God's chosen people? See the error in that? Those who obey God, those Israelitish Hebrew people that accepted the Messiah according to the Torah and the Word of God, the Word of Messiah, whose sins were covered by the blood of the Lamb, and left and took the Word of God to the whole earth with them in their flight, by obedience to the words of the Messiah and the Holy Spirit, they're nothing. They're not the chosen people of God, but those that the seed, the posterity of the disobedient, they're God's chosen people. That's what they teach today, that the disobedient are the posterity of the disobedient are God's chosen people, but those that were obedient, but they're nothing now. They're not the chosen people of God. I see something wrong with that logic, but that's what they teach you. That's what your pastor was taught in the seminary. Yes, the Jesuit-controlled seminaries. And that's what they teach you in the corporate church. And that's what the futurist doctrine, of course, we know where that has its origin. I was reading an article, I got a few minutes here, by a guy who has a program called the Apocalypse Comedy. Wait a minute, Apocalypse Chronicles. I call it the Apocalypse Comedy. And he wrote a whole article and he said, you know, just downing everyone who believed that the futurist interpretation of prophecy was the product of the Vatican. And I went through his whole article and read the whole thing. And you know what? He did not even mention Ribera or Alcazar, the Jesuits, who originated the futurist doctrine. Oh, what a blind man. Perhaps his use of the word, the Catholic word for revelation, is telling. Apocalypse. Perhaps he is a Jesuit coadjutor. Well, you've been listening to Cross the Border. That's all we have time for today. As always, in everything you say and everything you do, bless his holy name. Hallelujah.